Pledge of Allegiance, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mayor Pruitt?
Here.
Councilmember Holtzclaw?
Here.
Councilmember Kelly?
Here.
Councilmember Michelson?
Here.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Here.
Councilmember Todd?
Here.
Councilmember Bond?
Here.
Thank you. So first up, we have audience communication. Bundy Olson, long time no see.
I have a little visit from you. From Wildflower, and I guess you all know me. Anyway, I came here tonight to thank you for our fabulous new road. And I made this card, and it says, fabulous, thank you for the fabulous new road. And there's pictures here of kids actually on the road, and they absolutely love it. And so thank you, thank you. And there's a picture of me with my thumbs up with a big truck going by. And special thanks, I wanted to especially thank the city crew. They came in and they did an excellent job trimming our trees. Before the work could be done, they had to trim up these trees, and they did an excellent job. They stood back and looked at it and just did a perfect job. So I want to thank them especially too. And thank you all for making it right. And like I said, the kids love it. The very night that the road was done, as soon as it was cooled, they were out there on their skateboards, on their scooters, on their bicycles. And there's a picture here of some kids playing football out there. And it's smooth, it's quiet, it's clean, it's fabulous. So I just want to thank you, and on behalf of all of the neighborhoods in Mill Creek, thank you that, you know, they won't have to go through this kind of a thing. So I'm sure, you know, I was wishing that there would be a lot more people here, but seems like it's easier to complain than to thank you. But and I brought you chocolate chip cookies. Homemade chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, that's
so
nice.
Hopefully when you're eating them, you'll get some pleasure, and it won't even come an nth degree of how much pleasure we have when we go out to our mailbox, when we drive on that road, and it's so fabulous. So thank you all, and especially thank Mark Bond and Donna Michelson and the mayor for being with us from the very beginning. And so just thank you very much.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'll give you.
Hand it to the city manager.
Maybe we'll pass the cookies up there around. Keep them.
Next up is Gordon LeBar.
Hello, I'm Gordon LeBar, Wildflower Park also, and I'm here also to comment on the paving. It's great. It's awesome. A lot of the things that Bundy said I would agree with, and I remember when I first came to the meeting last fall about when the neighborhood was pretty upset about the chip seal. It took me about 3 or 4 minutes to gather up a bag of rocks that were supposed to be attached to the road but easily rolled off, and I brought those to the city council meeting. If I was to try to collect that many rocks tonight of what's remaining out there, I'm not sure I could do it. They're pretty much gone. I don't see them in my driveway, in my garage. Went away very quickly. And like Bundy said, my girls were on their scooters that night, and they had not been on their scooters since the chip seal mess was put down. So I really appreciate all the council members, the mayor, Kamal, good job at doing just a great job. There was lots of warning, lots of communication. They just did a really fabulous job. The road is tremendous. So we really appreciate the focus and the effort and listening to the Wildflower residents, and also several meetings back when we were discussing about doing the underground repair work this year versus next year, and you guys, the council, asked the residents here what their preference was, and I appreciate that you asked for our input, and I think it was well thought out input, and I think that was the right thing to do, to pave it now, just get that done, and we'll worry about the repairs later. So it's really tremendous. Everybody likes it. My wife doesn't hurt her feet going in her delicate shoes to the mailbox anymore when she walks to the mailbox, so she really appreciates. So thank you very much. It's very appreciated by the whole neighborhood, for everybody I've talked to. So thank you. Thanks, Kamal.
Thank you for coming down. Representative Lubick, welcome.
Thank you, and good evening. And just for the record, my name is John Lubick, and I live in the Heatherstone subdivision. And I want to start by thanking Councilmember Michelson for her 19 years of extraordinary service to this city. I just want to tell you what a wonderful person you have been, what a wonderful friend you've been to not only our family, but to this city, and I just want to thank you. I also want to take just a moment to say a couple of things. I was born and raised in Louisiana, and there was an old saying that we had in Louisiana that went something like this. It said, unspoken praise is of value to no one. And we would say it just about every day. So I just want to take a moment to, first of all, recognize the Public Works Department. I know more than a few times he probably gets tired of listening to his voicemail, but I can tell you something. I've called him probably 6 or 7 times, and within 5 minutes of calling him, he will call me back. And there's a project that I'm telling him about, whether I smell a gas leak or sight distance problem, he calls me right back. But I also want to take just a quick second to talk about something that is near and dear to me. You probably know that there are more than a few bad things going on in our country today, things that whatever side of the road you're on, you have to think about them. You have to think that we're dealing with some difficult times. But one of the things that I really, really like and enjoy, I absolutely enjoy the engagement of our police department. I spent almost 4 decades in law enforcement, 31-plus years as a state trooper, and I was the Snohomish County Sheriff for almost 6 years, and I served in a law enforcement capacity for 13 years in the Coast Guard. And I can tell you this, I have never, in my 26 years living in this city, seen a police department more engaged than our police department is now. And I'll just tell you something. I was at an event at Jackson High 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, and we had an event. It was for the NAACP, which is the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, and it's to bring people together to talk about a variety of things. And of all of the people who were there, our police chief was there, and he sat there for the entire 4-hour segment of the program. Those are the kind of things that, despite what we see here and want to see, those are the kind of things that will bring a community together. So I want to thank you. Thank you for the tremendous work that our police officers are doing, and thank you for the great work that our staff is doing. And it's like I said when I started, unspoken praise is of value to no one. I'm not one that believes in coming down to complain about things, but I do believe that when things are going well, and I think things are going exceptional now. I love seeing the police officers out in the school zones. I love seeing them out there waving cars out of parking lots. Instead of just driving by, I love seeing them out there doing those little things that make a huge difference. So thank you very, very much, and I'm out of here. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, was there anybody else that wanted to talk to the council tonight? Going once, twice? Okay, next up is presentation, city manager. We have employee milestones.
Thank you, Council. It is nice for the comments that we received tonight about our public works staff, that our presentations tonight are actually about 2 public works staff. And ironically, both of those staff are being recognized tonight for 10 years of service. So first, I'd like to recognize Tracy Dyson, who is here tonight with his wife and a cute little son. And so, Tracy, if you want to come join me at the podium. Tracy, as you know, is one of our Public Works Department's most knowledgeable staff members when it comes to department scheduling and the preparation and execution of community events. He's consistently proactive with tasks and more often than not has them complete before they need to be assigned. Whether it's putting up seasonal banners, festival banners, no fireworks sign, or programming school zone lights, Tracy gets the job done. And you know, he really puts up with like a female city manager directing the Christmas lights and everything at Christmas time. So, Tracy is a consistently reliable employee who shows up and does not complain about what work assignments come his way. He will work tirelessly without complaining and until a job assignment is complete, even when the scope of work has increased or changed. He's always willing to do whatever is asked of him, and he adds great value to our Public Works team. When he's not working, he enjoys spending time with his wife, Christy, and his son, Paxton. He also enjoys music and experiencing various music venues. He's played in several bands, and he often puts that sound equipment skill to work at city events. He enjoys snowboarding, BMX bicycling, and other extreme sports, and hanging out with his many friends. One of the things I love is that he and his wife enjoy traveling and have visited Australia and New Zealand. Is that right? I'm very jealous of that. Mm-hmm. If you had driven around the city, chances are you've seen Tracy's handiwork. He's been mowing rights of way, cleaning the parks, caring for landscapes, and repairing signage around the city for 10 years. And we want to acknowledge his tremendous effort on behalf of the city. So congratulations. Sorry, come in. I wasn't hallucinating. Why don't you come join me? So Missy is our other Public Works employee who's also celebrating 10 years of service. I have to say that Missy was one of the first employees I met when I came to the city, and I just immediately fell in love with her because there's literally nothing she can't do and nothing she's afraid of, and I totally love that kind of personality. She is our most experienced street sweeper operator in Public Works, and whether she's sweeping streets, tending to parks and trails, making repairs, caring for landscapes, or working with the police department on city events, she has an eye for detail and ensures each task is done with the utmost care. Missy takes great pride in the work she does to keep our city safe, clean, and well-maintained. If you've driven around the city, chances are you've seen her handiwork. The attention to detail is something that I really love about her. I also love that she's proactive. When she sees something that needs to be done, she raises that. She recently brought forward to me a safety issue for the crew with regard to cleaning up hypodermic needles. And we worked with our partner Evergreen Health on a safety program and containers for that, and it was a real success. So that kind of proactive spirit is something that we celebrate here at the city in our spirit of continuous improvement. Missy is also well-liked by the citizens. Whether they stop to say hello, thank her for a job well done, or ask for help, Missy enjoys the interaction with our community members. And I cannot tell you how many phone calls I've personally received as city manager from a citizen that has had an interaction with Missy and really appreciated the time she took to explain things. She provides excellent customer service, she's responsive to citizen requests, and is a friendly face out in our city. She's always willing to do whatever is asked of her and adds great value to the team. When not working, she enjoys spending time with her friends and sons, Zach and Tristan, and she enjoys spending time outdoors and loves fishing and hunting with her boys. And as I understand it, as of this weekend, is this rumor true? Is engaged, and her fiance, I think, is here tonight. Is that correct? Yeah. And so, nice. So congratulations to both of you on your recent engagement, and we want to thank you for a decade of hard work on behalf of the city.
Tough cookie.
You didn't mention she built an entire sprinkler system from nothing along Country Club Drive.
Oh, okay. Stories even I don't know about.
We saw a lot of Missy's backside while she was doing it. Head down in the hole and tight fittings all over the place. It was great.
And it's it's really nice when she's doing the street sweeping. She always pays attention to the cars. She's not out there hogging the road. She understands that people have places to go, and it's very, very courteous, so appreciate it.
Yes, she is.
Okay, next up, old business telecommunications franchise agreement.
Thank you, Council. Tonight's agenda is relatively light and a lot of housekeeping items. This is one of those. As you'll recall from our June meeting, you did pass an ordinance granting a non-exclusive telecommunications franchise to Astound Broadband. And if you'll recall during that presentation, the franchise attorney had talked about we would be back in short order because of a change of control in the ownership of the company. It does not change the franchise at all. These documents have been prepared by the franchise attorney. The documentation provided for due diligence has been reviewed by the franchise attorney. And again, this is just the follow-up to that June meeting to address the indirect change of control. So, I'm not sure if I can answer telecommunication law questions, but I'm hoping you'll remember that June meeting and it's a housekeeping item. And what we have for you tonight is the ordinance effectuating that, and so the motion would be to adopt Ordinance 2017-821, granting an indirect change of control of Astound Broadband LLC doing business as WAVE with conditions and establishing an effective date.
Questions? Really?
Okay, City Manager, explain to us all the ownership interests, all the ownership interests of all these charts here. This is amazing.
I know, crazy, huh? Just
yeah, we won't ask that question.
We went pretty thorough last time.
Oh, yeah, we did. Okay, so can we have a motion to approve Ordinance Number 2017-821 as explained by the City Manager?
So moved. Second. Tie.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Next up is the 2017-2019 agreement for Indigent Defense Services.
Thank you, Mayor, Council. Again, this is another housekeeping item. As you're aware, by law, we are required to provide Indigent Defense Services. And you'll see in the agenda summary that the previous contract was with the same legal firm. We're recommending for now to continue with this legal firm. We do at some point, hopefully in this biennium, plan to review all of our prosecutorial contracts, everything from jail services to indigent defense services to prosecution services. You can see that the fee since 2013 has been $8,750 a month. For the contract extension through 2019, a request from the firm was made in the amount of $10,000 a month. Peggy negotiated that down to the $9,000 a month, resulting just a $250 a month increase in fees for the duration of the contract. So I thought that was a really good job and to get us through 2019. And we would recommend approving Resolution 2017-569 for the agreement for Indigent Defense Services with Feldman and Lee and authorizing the city manager to execute the contract.
Councilmember Cavallari.
Thank you, Mayor. I would encourage council to adopt this signing of their agreement with Feldman and Lee. They are top-notch in the county. They do fantastic work with us, and many of the folks that attended the Citizens Academy talked how fantastic they were at explaining things to them and the volunteer work that they do. So very, very good firm and very reputable people, and I highly am behind it. Thank you.
Anybody else? Mike?
Just curious, you know, when we did this last time, we'd gone where the state had just changed the caseload requirements, and so that was a big change in the contrast last time. I'm just kind of curious how that's been going. That was a big deal when we talked about it before, and you weren't here for the history, but that was they were concerned about the amount of caseload these guys had, hence the price went up a lot. Is our usage reasonable, or has it changed a lot over the period of the contract, or do you know?
Peggy has looked at those, since coming on board, those invoices more than I have in detail. My recollection, though, is we were still within the retainer amount each month. Mm-hmm. I didn't find the caseload exceptionally heavy for what I don't have a benchmark to compare it to. I don't know if we're still within that retainer amount each
month. Yeah, for the most part, we are. If we do go over, I think it's an additional $300 charge. But for the most part, we don't go over that amount.
Yeah, so I think that's one of the things we want to look at, and we're going to review them, is that if we're well under it all the time, then maybe there's a different thing. But it sounds like from their angle, they're just, they either are seeing more workload or they just wanted to increase in their rates. That's why they're asking for 10 instead of the $87.50.
And I think, you know, just in law firms, the hourly rates go up with attorneys handling things. And but I think that as part of the negotiation, they, you know, there's value to have a contract with a guaranteed retainer amount every month, too. So we were able, or I should say the royal we, Peggy, was able to leverage that into a really good minimal increase.
Anybody else? So do we have a motion to approve resolution 2017-569 as described by the city manager?
So moved.
Are you twinning me again? Go ahead and take it.
Go ahead, Don. I'm sorry.
I'll make that motion.
A second?
I happily second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Next up is an interlocal agreement between Snohomish County and the City of Mill Creek for the installation of adaptive traffic signal control system.
Thank you. I think the council was actually discussing this project even maybe before I arrived. I know it was discussed as part of the CIP process during the budget. A couple things I wanted to point out. I think you're aware of what the adaptive traffic signal system is, and the city's involved. If not, it's certainly laid out in your agenda summary. If you'll recall from the CIP process, we budgeted under capital funds $50,000 for the project. Right now, based on this ILA, we're projecting $12,000. Of course, it has to go out for bid, and you know there can be minor fluctuations in that, but I'm happy with what the projections are. I have to give real kudos to the county for the grant fund that they worked. That really is a huge reason why our costs went down, and I thought that was very positive. So this project is well within budget and indeed well under budget, and our recommendation to approve resolution number 2017-570, authorizing the execution of the ILA with Snohomish County.
Comments or questions?
I've got a couple questions, and Kamal may know more about this than others, or maybe it's just in the contract itself. It looks like we're paying 4% of the amount that is not covered by the grant, but if the price comes in above what the $2 million estimate or whatever it was, or the $200,000 for the design part, everybody shares it the same proportion in those overages, or does it have to do with specific parts of the project? So if Mill Creek's part was twice as hard as they thought it was going to be, would our percentage change, or is it still just, did somebody already kind of set the percentages so we all share equally in any overages?
Yeah, in the ILA itself, there's an attachment and kind of has set out how those percentages were derived. So if the bid came over, it would just be the 4% of the bid project.
And do we know how they did on their estimates on the phase one project?
That's before my time. I don't have the numbers.
Yeah. It was just kind of an indicator. I think that county's done a good job of scoping this thing. It probably makes a lot of sense. I don't think there's a lot of exposure. And I had not remembered we had $50,000 set aside, so we've got plenty even if it doubles.
And we can certainly follow up on the phase one question and just send that information out to the council.
Yeah, just kind of curious how it went. I think it's going to be a great project, and it's nice that we actually have a very few that are our lights, but a lot of this impacts our corridors because 164th is the one that we all are dealing with this.
Enjoy.
Yeah, you're going to enjoy this, the impact.
I'm enjoying it right now.
Yeah. This is great.
Very fabulous results in Seattle with this. They
yeah.
made a couple of mistakes, but that we can avoid those mistakes. But it's having a substantial impact in the Mercer mess.
Yeah. Well, I think you know, everybody hates the block in the box things. We hear about those comments and the turning in McDonald's, all those things. That's what Joni had in her report from the neighborhoods. And this is going to fix a lot of that by managing that in a better fashion. It doesn't take more lanes. It takes more timing between the lights. And this is great that somebody's figured this out. And the county's done yeoman's work on this. It's great.
This was for installation in 2019, right?
2019, yes. Is that right, Kamal?
This is our participation in phase two.
Design is ongoing right now.
Right.
And as soon as design is done, it probably in the next few months, it'll go out to bid, and then they'll get bids and get it constructed.
Okay. Anything else? We have a motion to approve resolution 2017-570 as described by the city manager.
I'd be happy to make that motion.
I'll second that motion.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. Now we're up to the consent agenda, approval of checks number 57452 through 57522 and ACH wire transfers in the amount of $179,923.35. Audit Committee, Council Members Todd and Cavallari. Any exceptions?
Exceptions?
No exceptions.
Okay, payroll and benefit ACH payments in the amount of $102,320.32. Any exceptions?
No exceptions.
No exceptions.
Okay, City Council meeting minutes of September 5th, 2017, and City Council meeting minutes of September 12th, 2017. So do we have a motion to approve the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
A motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Passes unanimously. We're now up to reports. I've got two quick ones. One is as part of the consolidation effort, if it occurs, I've been appointed to the transition board, which means at 12:01 on January 1st, we'll be doing a conference call to set up the organization. It's very temporary. They're looking to do the caucuses and stuff probably in mid-January. So, but they have to have a group to get it started, so there'll be six of us. The other thing is I'll be doing a ribbon cutting on Saturday at 11 a.m. at the new Kids and Us Early Learning Center on 9th Avenue Southeast. And if anybody else would like to come, it's a brand new facility. The pictures I've seen are great. And everybody's welcome to come. So I'm sure they would love to see you.
So. Time again was 11?
It's 11. The actual, it says the event is from 10 to 3, but the ribbon cutting's at 11. So if you'd like, anybody wants to show up, you are more than welcome. The more the merrier. So with that, Councilmember Bond?
I don't have a report, but I will be out of town on October 10th.
No report, Mayor.
Councilmember Cavallari?
Well, if we're having that discussion, I will also be out of town on October 10th attending a wedding.
I was first.
My niece, tough luck.
Check my calendar.
Now Don is checking her calendar.
I know I'm missing.
Besides that, I have no report. Thank you.
I have no report, but I will not be able to attend the meeting on October 24th. I'll be out with the family vacation. Yeah, 24th, I will not be here. I'll be here the 10th, y'all.
Thank you. You have company.
No problem.
Mayor Pro Tem Holtzclaw?
I will be here on the 10th and the 24th and at SEC SCT tomorrow.
Hey, Councilmember Todd.
Yeah, ditto. The other thing is, I think everybody got this in their mailbox, probably. Consider going to the AWC regional meeting in Edmonds on November 1st. That's going to be instead of an SCC meeting. It's usually a good opportunity. The AWC folks are always great to talk about the issues of what happened in the last session and what's coming up in the next session. It's always a good thing. It's going to be at the library in Edmonds, and so I encourage you to go. And Gina knows how to sign you up. Thanks.
Okay. City Manager.
Thank you, Council. A couple of things we wanted to report on tonight. The first two reports I've asked Joni to discuss from the, our communications plan community outreach. Excuse me, I wanted her to update you on the HOA President's Focus Group and then how we're expanding that focus group effort for other opportunities for input. Also, I've had questions from Council about whether or not to utilize Nextdoor as a social media tool, and Joni and her team researched that. Her report's in here, but I wanted her to touch on that as well. So if I may, Joni?
Cool. All right. So as you probably read, we had our second HOA President's Focus Group meeting last week. I think it was last week. Everything's running together nowadays. It was a great gathering, 10 people from the 76 represented HOAs in Mill Creek. And I was really thrilled again with the participation in this group. They come together, they bring issues, they want to know what's happening in the city, and they care deeply about the issues here. The issue that we discussed the most over the course of an hour was trees and some of the city's ordinances regarding trees and developments and how to handle trees as they are aging in our neighborhoods, which is a big issue. We've talked about concrete shaving, which happens when the roots are raising the sidewalks, and there's a lot of different issues pertaining to trees. So we're going to be discussing that internally and figuring out how to move forward in response to these questions that came up. In general, this HOA group has been very easy to work with, but we wanted to expand our coverage a little more because not every person in Mill Creek lives in an HOA-governed neighborhood. So first, we did some outreach to some citizens who have been very vocal from non-represented neighborhoods, and we are happy to have added a member through that outreach. But we've also put out a press release to the media, Dan, and others who are listening, and are hoping to get some more participation from other neighborhoods, and actually even those HOA neighborhoods who haven't responded to our request for participation. This is another great call to have people join us, because the more voices, the more people who are represented, we will hear the issues more broadly that impact the city. And it's very important to us to know what people are saying and be able to respond to their issues and address them. Any questions about the HOA outreach?
Going back to the tree thing, it predates all of you back there, I think, except for Gina maybe. But we had a kind of a pilot project, I think we called it. It was in the south end of the parks where they had very narrow parking strips and the wrong trees were planted. So I think we took all those out and put in new trees. And do we follow up on that and see how that, what was that pilot successful, or is that a model that we should be building on for these other issues?
You know, Tom Gaffman coordinated that in his retirement years, as I call it. So that was just actually completed within the last 12 months, I think. And so I think that's a good point to go and actually follow up now. And so I think that will be on the project list for our new director in Public Works and Development Services as something to look at as we're building our CIP, because I think that is an element of the CIP is the overall tree program, and which relates to sidewalk repairs.
And if I do recall, they actually presented a tree planting program on the overhead. I think Sherry Ringstad did the presentation where we adopted
certain
particular
kinds of
types
of trees
that were allowed to put in the medians. And you remember, I remember it as the Highlands, medians in the Highlands.
No, it's the parks.
Is it the parks?
They replanted, I want to say, at least 20 to 30 of them,
if I remember.
One
whole little loop.
Yeah, the
there.
Whole south end, the southwest end in the parks. And expanded the sidewalks a bit. So when I saw them about 6 months ago, they looked fantastic. But
I think we actually adopted a tree plan that's somewhere.
And those, you know, we've updated, I think, our recommendations for trees from what the city originally had in its codification, because we've learned through time and what works better. And so I think you're right, and I think that's what that was alluding to. The pilot project was a little bit different because it was a collaborative effort with the HOA, and so I have to go back and kind of look at the details of that again and what we did, because we did a pretty big expenditure as a pilot project.
Yeah. Thanks.
I have a question about the neighborhood focus groups. Is that for every neighborhood, or is that for unrepresented neighborhoods only?
It's what we are, what I am renaming the HOA President's Focus Group to be the Neighborhoods Focus Group, because really, if we are just singling out unrepresented neighborhoods, we still have the division. We don't want that. We want everybody to come together.
The message that you sent out, so is that like for one person from each subdivision?
Yes.
And you have somehow you're going to pick when there's two or three from a subdivision?
I would love to have that problem.
Yeah.
Good. That'd be great.
And so if they're in an HOA, they can still apply?
Yes. And actually, I had somebody call me. We posted it on social media, and he said, my neighborhood didn't get a notification, and I was able to address who in his neighborhood we had reached out to, and he said, oh, well, I'm the new president. So we were able to make that connection. I think it's just great to be able to provide people with a reminder of opportunities to engage. So the next report was on the use of Nextdoor as a social media tool, and I'm not sure in this room who's familiar with it, out of curiosity, besides Pam, a couple over there. So we have spent a lot of time hemming and hawing over this recommendation. It's not been easy. We've done a lot of research, and so to start, we reached out to our peers in nearby cities, Snohomish and Marysville and others here. We reached out to folks in the 3CMA organization to understand how other cities or counties are using Nextdoor. We put it out on social media to some groups that we belong to as a city, as well as individually through Facebook and LinkedIn and other social media channels. We did a poll for people who were engaging with us. We've discussed it with people in conversations, and it boils down to a lot of people know about Nextdoor, but in the city of Mill Creek, not a lot of people use it. And those who have used it have mixed reviews on its viability as a channel to address some of the issues that they originally went to Nextdoor to use.
I can tell you about every lost cat and dog.
I bet you can. And that's what our HOA focus group said the same thing last week. If they had a category for lost cats and dogs, we'd be in great supply there.
How far of a cry is it from like Facebook or something like that that we utilize now?
It's a lot different. So Nextdoor for individuals might be a great tool. You can sign up. You have to provide your information, so they get your personal information, your address. They have to check your name. If they don't like your name, if it might be a unique name, they might kick you off. If you have different political views than the moderator of your neighborhood, you might get kicked off. So there's a lot of downsides to that. But the positive side is you can engage with your neighbors in a way that you might not feel comfortable on Facebook. Personally speaking, my sister, who likes to be a little wallflower, loves Nextdoor because she doesn't actually have to go meet anybody, but they can have discussions, and she doesn't have to let them in and see pictures of her kids on Facebook. But then for people like this, or organizations like the city, we don't have that luxury of seeing some of the issues that are in the neighborhoods. So if somebody raises an issue, say in the North Point neighborhood, they might be able to discuss it in the North Point neighborhood, but unless somebody actually somehow brings the city into the conversation on a thread or directly messages the city, we don't have visibility. Further, we can't cross-post without going into all the neighborhoods to make sure the issue has been addressed. Or we can do a blanket message, but it might raise an issue across everybody when they don't have a particular issue in a neighborhood. So there's limitations as to what the city can actually do. We see Heather Chadwick out there for Snowfire 7. She's using it to blast out messages. But she has a very small following of people and small engagement. It's typically the same users, same handful, who one of them I've watched get into the cents, the dollars and cents of the events she's spending or events they're putting on, such as National Night Out. How are we using taxpayer dollars? So there's a different level of scrutiny and engagement that we've observed. And in general, it doesn't appeal to us as a tool to use for the city. We have a very sound base on Facebook and LinkedIn, or Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We are pushing out emergency messages as quickly as we can. such as the accident on 132nd a couple weeks ago. At 10 o'clock at night on a Friday, we had 89 people commenting on a thread within an hour, and that's an incredible response. It's not just sharing the news or looking at it. They were commenting and engaging. So based on this, based on the limitations that we have with Nextdoor, our ability to connect within the neighborhoods, and based on the headway we are making with other social media channels, we are deciding not to move forward with Nextdoor at this time. We do want to reserve the right to come back and look at it again in the future should we see some changes to the platform, because it's possible things could change. So we want to look at it again later, but right now, hold off.
Good job vetting it. Thank you.
I actually, the reason I like Nextdoor is that I don't have to, like your sister, engage, and I'm very careful about not posting because of the public records issues. But I really like knowing what's going on when there's people stealing packages, doing vehicle prowls, people post the videos. And I will say, given that huge area, I know I can cross off some neighborhoods and say, I don't want to see that. I only want to see this. But it certainly makes me appreciate living in Mill Creek and the fact that we're more secure. When I look at all the other problems and people say, but it doesn't do any good to call because nobody comes. And, of course, in Mill Creek we do.
That's right.
I think it's and I know that I think the sheriff's office uses it just to watch it. So I don't think it hurts to watch if something comes up, but
I think one of the things we found too in the research was that a huge difference for Mill Creek is there's such a substantial community base, and what's the group called?
Mill Creek Community on Facebook.
And so that has how many, 7,000 plus?
Closer to 8,000 now.
And so what we found is that it's almost like the community has created its own next door, if you will. And Joni is finding, as she's engaging, that Mill Creek community, through that Mill Creek community Facebook, is forwarding stuff to her that they're interested in, and we're engaging, and that's wrapping around, of course, to our social media platform. So I think that's one of the reasons that really differentiates Mill Creek's use of Nextdoor or not use of Nextdoor, is because of that Mill Creek community platform that's already been in place.
Yes. Agree with the recommendation based on your research. Thank you.
Okay, next.
Well, I wanted to talk a little bit about projects and just very briefly in terms of an update, and this really ties to the planning calendar, and I wanted to just kind of comment on some things I'm seeing, and I think Joni's research is a nice segue into kind of what I'm seeing. A lot of, when I first got here, I saw a lot of just transaction work, you know, this ILA, that ILA, vouchers. I don't really have a lot of substantial material coming up in the next few weeks for the council agenda, but if you look down into the work in progress under the council agenda packet, the reason is because the staff is doing, in some cases, a much larger scale depending on the project, the kind of vetting and work that Joni just did, for example, on the Nextdoor analysis. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about what staff's doing that you don't see yet, because it's not ready for council review. But I know when I interviewed with the council, we had a lot of discussion about wanting to have well-vetted, well-thought-out, you know, complete information. And I feel like that's a goal that we continuously work at. But I feel like we've really crested to another level. And when we look at the council agenda, I think you can see that. So we've talked a lot about the CIP work plan and wanting to really rebuild that from the ground up. And that ties into our six-year financial forecast in a pretty significant way. But there is just months and months of work to do to get, even before we get to this room, to have that discussion. So I wanted to just kind of review very briefly some of the things that are going on that pertain to that project. As you know, I have a current recruitment out for a Director of Public Works and Development Services. Those interviews are actually occurring this week. And so I'm hoping in early October we'll have offer out to a successful candidate. If those interviews go well, And that's a key position for the CIP. It's kind of, you know, that position is integral to doing that planning. So that's a big part of it. The financial policies, you know, we put together kind of some initial draft policies for the budget process, governing just general financial policies and capital improvement plan policies. Peggy and I are working on reviewing and updating those, comparing those against some GFOA best practices. Peggy will be going to some GFOA trainings in that regard coming up, and bringing those policies to you will probably be the first in a series of work sessions on the CIP, because they will establish the framework for how we make decisions on the CIP. And so we have to kind of start at the policy level. I'm currently working on developing a budget calendar that incorporates the operating budget with the capital budget. So that work is going on. The citizen budget tool, a key aspect of a capital improvement plan process, is citizen engagement. And the days of just having citizens come down to City Hall to participate in that are over. What we really see is online citizen engagement is the way governments are going. We are we have procured and we are in the process of building an online interactive citizen engagement tool that will interface with our new website design I'll talk about in a minute, that will actually allow the public to engage online in the budget process and in the CIP process, where they will be able to rank projects, they will be able to set priorities that they want in their neighborhoods on projects, they will be able to see the effects that if you want all of these projects in this category, it would cost this much in taxes or fees, and be able then to say, do they support that? Do they want to reprioritize? So they'll see a lot of cause and effect, same on the budget side. We also have the ability to freeze things that the public can't change on the budget side. So if we're contractually bound to wage increases, they can't like eliminate that. And so it'll be a much more interactive process. And then the council will benefit from the results of that process. Currently, Peggy and Joni are providing the management oversight from the financial and communication side, building that, and then we have one of our accountants who is the project lead on that. We are working with Pertit. We actually have a kickoff meeting in next week, I believe, to take all this video that's been done of our stormwater system and projects identified, review that, and provide cost estimates, which will be the foundation for the stormwater portion of the CIP. We've recently finished bridge inspections and identified bridges in need of repair in the city. Then we'll be moving on to the cost estimate phase of that, and that will be, of course, another section of the CIP. And I think you can see, you know, what we're building is a comprehensive picture for you of different capital facility needs and infrastructure needs. So all of that work is going on in preparation for a council retreat to start talking about priorities and needs and long-range planning. Also, the fire contract, you know, as you know, we have a tentative agreement, and now the parties are working through the language of the contract. As you see, I have that tentatively scheduled for October 10th, but I say tentative because we have to submit drafts back and forth, and it depends on schedules and how soon people can look at drafts and fire commissioner meetings and so on and so forth. I may change that now with two of the council being gone on the 10th. That's something we probably want the whole council here for. But that is work that's underway. We have also launched our guild negotiations. As you know, the guild collective bargaining agreement expires at the end of this year. You see our upcoming bargaining dates. So the labor management team, Peggy, Laura, Greg, myself, are involved in prepping and engaging in the contract negotiations. Of course, you're aware of the SNOCOM snowpack consolidation. You know, we anticipate having another work session. Scott has been engaged in some of the attorney calls. He has some updated red line versions. We're going to have kind of another work session to brief the council next week on those changes. The idea being that by the time the ILA is ready for your action, it's more of a consent agenda item that we've kind of talked through it through work session. As you know, during the legislative session this year, there were two pretty significant pieces of legislation that passed with regard to the Public Records Act. I had been talking with Peggy and with Scott Massal about really needing to create a section in our city code governing public records requests. It's a pretty big vacancy in our code that we don't really have that and a corresponding policy for that. This really provided an opportunity to say, hey, since the law's changed, let's review it, update it, and kind of create a comprehensive policy. I've taken the lead on that, and so Scott and I are working on that. We have another work session on that next week, next October 3rd, Tuesday, I believe. I'm kind of modeling these after the model rules that the Washington Attorney General's office has out, and I think as they continue, they will, in fact, they're working on updating their model rules, and so my idea is if we kind of have the same format, it'll be easy as they issue updates. So that's what we're working on. Of course, the audit will be underway, so Peggy will be busy with that, and she and I have now started work on preparing budget amendments for the end of the year. Joni is hugely engaged right now in our website redesign project. That plays into the CIP and our citizen engagement budget tool, where these things need to be all planned out and interact and work. A website design is a tremendously intense and technical project. I think it speaks exceedingly well for the city of Mill Creek that we have personnel on staff who can lead that kind of project. We've recently had a focus group. Councilman Todd was kind enough to join us for that. And so it's pretty exciting where that's going, and we anticipate that in our tourism website being live by the end of the year. So that's coming along nicely. As you know, we contracted for the Center for Public Safety Management for a review of our police services. Greg and I are working to put together a strategic plan for the police department for the next several years. All the data analysis has been complete. That was pretty staff intensive because we had to compile a lot of information for them, and then we had SNOCOM was integral. They had to work to download a bunch of data for that for all their statisticians. They've conducted two on-site visits now and completed the data analysis, and the preliminary report has gone to editing. So I'm hoping as we go through that editing and review process, we'll be ready in November to bring that to the council. The franchise agreement is just another placeholder that we want to have one more franchise agreement to work on. And then personnel policies, as you know, through the budget process and the AFSCME negotiations, all of our job descriptions for AFSCME employees and non-representative employees have been completely rewritten and updated. Those have been approved now through the collective bargaining process. I've signed off on those. Those have been uploaded into ADP. All of our compensation analysis is complete and was part of those negotiations. And we're currently working on updating the performance evaluation system and instruments within ADP, and working with the directors on process improvements for that. When we complete the guild negotiations, then we anticipate starting to bring policies. We're kind of waiting until we get through those contract negotiations. Really, after, you know, going through AFSCME, there are a lot of issues that came to our attention that need to be addressed in a policy format, and so we kind of want to get through the guild negotiations before we start putting everything into writing for council review. So the point I want to make is there's a lot of kind of work going on behind the scenes that you may not necessarily see. A lot of the projects that you're interested in are now we're now at the level where we're doing big project work, which requires months of staff work to get ready for council review. So I wanted to kind of first give you a reassurance that this stuff was going on behind the scene, but also explain why you might see some lighter agendas, because staff is working on these bigger projects. One of the things I'm very happy to see in the evolution of the staff is much more research and in design of projects. One of the things we're going to be adding to the council agenda for next week that I am just completely thrilled about is we're doing quote-unquote our succession planning for our K-9 unit, as our current K-9 is getting to the end of its useful life. But I think what you'll see in the presentation next week is this is not just replace a dog with a dog. Greg and I have had a lot of conversations about where we want to go relative to K-9, and of course we've had the benefit of working with the CPSM staff as well and getting some of their preliminary feedback. But I think what you see is that's exciting to me is two things: a complete retooling of the unit, focused on a community engagement aspect and a narcotics aspect, which I think is severely lacking here. But more than that, I think what you'll see is the police officers involved in that culturally understanding why that community engagement piece is important. And so I'm looking forward to their presentation next week. And I think it just shows how the leadership team, the directors, are really doing a good job of delving into the details of these projects, looking at best practices based on their respective professional organizations, and rebranding work in the city that, to fit into our guiding principles and the culture we're creating in the city. So while there may not be anything imminent next week or in the next few weeks, what I can say is I'm very excited about all of these projects that are coming to you, because I think that they are cohesive in terms of our guiding principles and the directions that, that the council has set. So I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Big workload. Comment.
So okay. Thanks for your indulgence in that.
So the council planning schedule?
Well, I just kind of went
rolled it all in.
Yeah, as part of that together. Sorry.
Okay, good deal. So audience communication. Going once, twice. Okay, next we're going to recess to executive session. For the purposes of a discussion of the status of collective bargaining negotiations, how long do you think we'll be?
20 minutes.
Up to 20 minutes, and no action is anticipated. So, thank you. And we need everybody to leave so we can have our meeting.